It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasin. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasin.
Hey, good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone who is listening to Gervie's Law on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC, to be the managing partner of your life. I was hoping that Kerry Kasin would be back with me today because she hasn't been with me over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure you've all been listening. And I found out that Kerry is in the building. She is here at KABC, but she is not sitting in the chair across from me. She is on a top secret assignment. She is doing an interview, which I can't talk about. So I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to tell you that Kerry will join us shortly. I know the interview that she's doing is a limited interview, and she will be here. Kerry has her hands in so many things. Maybe she will tell us about what she was doing when Gervie's Law started at 2:05 today, and she wasn't here with me. For those of you who have been listening to our show the last couple of weeks, it has been tremendously exciting because we have been saluting or commemorating the O.J. Simpson verdict. Believe it or not, it took place 20 years ago on October 3rd. We're reaching that point. Where were you when O.J. was pronounced not guilty? And again, I didn't say innocent. All you lawyers out there know the difference between not guilty and innocent. He was pronounced not guilty, meaning that the prosecution did not prove its case. And we were fortunate enough in the last 2 weeks to have with us two of OJ's lawyers. 2 weeks ago, we had Alan Dershowitz on the show, and last week we had F. Lee Bailey. What was interesting is when the two of them talked about that famous picture that we can all see in our minds when O.J. was pronounced not guilty, standing beside him was F. Lee Bailey with this kind of smug look on his face. And F. Lee told us last week that he knew, I don't know how, but he knew that O.J. was going to be not guilty. Johnny Cochran, on the other hand, who, of course, has since passed away, was not so sure, and his facial expression was one of doubt, sort of not sure what was really going on. And then, of course, there was Robert Shapiro in the background, seen walking away in that famous picture. F. Lee Bailey had some words about that. He told us that Robert Shapiro may not have been that thrilled because he had some ideas about perhaps a plea bargain that might have taken place. And if there would have been a plea bargain, then, of course, O.J. wouldn't have been freed, at least at that time. F. Lee Bailey has that picture in his office. He's 82 years old, and he told us that at the age of 79, after he had been disbarred in Massachusetts and Florida, he attempted to become an attorney again in Maine, and he passed the bar but was not permitted to practice on a 5-4 vote that said because of moral turpitude from his disbarment in Florida and Maine, and Massachusetts rather, they weren't going to allow him to practice again. I asked F. Lee Bailey if he agreed with that decision. And of course, he said, absolutely not. The guy has so much spirit and so much verve for an 82-year-old. He is doing consulting work. And if you haven't heard that interview, you need to listen to it. And I'm going to tell you how you can listen to it in a minute. Alan Dershowitz, on the other hand, when he talked about the famous picture, he wasn't in the famous picture. Why? because he said he was having, and I quote him, his Sandy Koufax moment. What was the Sandy Koufax moment? That was he was observing the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, and he didn't go to the verdict. He stayed in Massachusetts or in New York with his family, and he watched it on TV. And he doesn't feel bad about it, just like when Sandy Koufax didn't play in the playoffs for the LA Dodgers because of the Jewish holiday. So there you have it. If you want to listen to those interviews, you really should. They're really interesting to hear Alan Dershowitz talk about his upbringing and about how his parents thought that he would make nothing of himself, and he became the youngest Harvard professor at the age of 28. And he told the story about when he told his mother in disbelief said, "You, a Harvard professor?" So you can go to Google Gervie's Law Podcast, KBC Podcast, Gervie's Law Podcast, KBC. It is a great listen. You can hear both the F. Lee Bailey interview and you can hear the Alan Dershowitz interview. And if you have nothing else to do, and you've been injured on the job, call me at 855-4RGW-LAW. That's my little shameless plug for Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. We handle all workers' compensation claims. We have a great staff and a bunch of attorneys waiting to talk to you. So if you or someone you love has been injured on the job, we need to help you. Call us at 855-4-RGW-LAW, or look us up on the web, rgwlawfirm.com, rgwlawfirm.com. You know, today we have an exciting show. Once Carrie gets here, and I expect her to be here in the next 5 minutes, we have with us none other than yet another well-known, unbelievably successful criminal defense attorney, Paul Cambria. Paul Cambria is renowned nationwide for his practice in criminal law and First Amendment law. That means he's defending the rights of free speech, and he is known for representing Larry Flynt. He is the king of pornography representation for the last 30 years or so. In fact, they have a list called the Cambria List, which was established in 2001, and Paul Cambria put together with the porn industry a list of the do's and don'ts for pornography, shooting, obscene and hopefully not obscene, depending on how you look at it, acts for movies. And we're going to talk to Paul about the Cambria List. We're going to talk to him about his representation of Larry Flynt and, of course, in music, DMX and Marilyn Manson. He has done it all, but why is he in the news today? He is in the news today because Paul Cambria is representing none other than Patrick Kane, the Chicago Blackhawks superstar who is apparently under investigation for sexual assault. Now, all of you LA Kings fans out there, and this is the flagship station of the Los Angeles Kings right here, Talk Radio 790 KBC, all of you fans will know Patrick Kane has destroyed the Kings so many times. Superstar in the NHL for the Chicago Blackhawks. And there's an investigation going on, and there have been some incredible events that have occurred over the last week having to do with what they call the evidence in the case, which is the rape kit. Apparently, a rape kit was found at the doorstep of the mother of the quote-unquote victim, and the attorney, Thomas Ioannou, I can't even say that name. I'm not sure why he has a name like that. But he has quit the case because he came out in a press conference talking about the rape kit, which was later found to be a hoax. It was an elaborate hoax. Erie County District Attorney Frank Sedita talked about how the rape kit was actually safe and sound with the evidence at Erie County District Attorney's Office. And this kit was something from the hospital or something else that the mother said to the attorney that this was actual evidence. Mr. Ioannou, again, change your name, Tom. you know, he had to quit the case. We are going to talk to Paul Cambria, who represents Patrick Kane. He is on record of saying that there was no DNA found below the waist on the victim. No Patrick Kane DNA. So we are going to have a chance to talk to him, although I have to warn you folks that he may not be able to talk too much about the Patrick Kane case because it is an ongoing investigation and he doesn't want, as I wouldn't as an attorney at law, to compromise the rights of his client. So he has to be very careful. But even if we can't talk too much about the Patrick Kane evidence, we can talk about the O.J. Simpson evidence, and of course, we can talk pornography. Because he is the king of pornography. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. After this, Paul Cambria.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, a crazy story about sex, kidnapping, and death.
And a beauty queen, a director, and some dead family members.
It'll be a happy show.
Yeah.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Are you ready to make an additional $10,000 or more per month flipping property? John DiTullio, host of the Big Flippin' Deal and former president of one of the nation's largest mortgage banks, wants to show you how with his Big Flippin' Cash Kit. John's kit has real estate acquisition strategies, lessons from pro investors, and a deal report specifically created for the L.A. and Orange County areas, all preloaded on a flash drive. You'll get an inside look at how to find real estate deals with motivated sellers. We're talking about properties you could get access to before they're on the market. Now, for a limited time, you can get John's Big Flipping Cash Kit for free. Learn about the strategy that's right for you, whether it's building an income stream with rental units, flipping properties for cash, or getting started with no money down wholesaling opportunities. Call 800-856-3092 now to get John's free kit. Call 800-856-3092 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get free tickets to a live workshop. Call 800-856-3092 for your free kit today. That's 800-856-3092.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Oh, yes. We are back right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am Alan Gervie, and I am so honored to tell all of you that Kerry Kasem has finally shown up.
My co-host is here. I am here.
Now, can you tell us where you were?
You know I can't.
You can't.
I cannot. But I will be able to soon. Right. I was interviewing somebody.
Very important.
Very important. I can say, you know, as someone who is running for the president of the United States position.
Yes. A front runner, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not going to say anything more because we have someone equally, if not more important, on the line with us. We are about to speak with Paul Cambria, who is a First Amendment attorney. He's renowned as a criminal defense attorney nationwide. He has argued several cases at the U.S. Supreme Court and, of course, named one of the best lawyers in America for the last 25 years. Paul Cambria, welcome to Gervie's Law.
How are you?
I am doing great. I hope that things are going well in Buffalo. Of course, you are with the Buffalo-based law firm of Lipsitz, Green, Skyman, Cambria, partner of the firm. And we have, for the last month, Paul, been commemorating the 20-year anniversary of the O.J. Simpson verdict, and you have been all over the place in the news. We're not going to talk all about what you've been in the news for directly, but we want to talk a little bit about this 20-year anniversary. 2 weeks ago on our show, we had Alan Dershowitz. Last week, we had F. Lee Bailey. Now, Paul Cambria. And, Paul, I want to ask you, first of all, when we talk about handling evidence as a criminal attorney, we saw in the O.J. Simpson case that there are all kinds of bungling going on with the evidence. Have things changed as you approach the handling of evidence in your cases today from 20 years ago?
Well, I think they have, and obviously with the prominence of DNA evidence these days, people have gotten a lot more sophisticated. There are a lot more training programs. The police are being funded now. Now, that doesn't mean that you're still not going to find relatively small communities with small budgets and people can't afford to train, and they may bungle something from time to time, but you know, no matter how sophisticated they are, let's take the FBI. I mean, the FBI and a lot of the state police organizations are very, very sophisticated, but there's still mistakes that are made. And, of course, that's where we come in, to show the mistake and whether or not it has consequence in the case.
Do you think that the O.J. trial 20 years ago was the impetus behind fixing the FBI and their collection of evidence so that we are where we are today? Or is it just simply the technological advances that have taken place over the last 20 years?
Well, I think certainly technological advances. There's no doubt about that. But the training is really the difference. They really are spending time on training and handling evidence in a more appropriate fashion.
You know, 2 weeks ago when we talked to Alan Dershowitz, he talked about the Klaus von Bülow case and the real beginnings of people understanding reasonable doubt. People in general didn't have a good handle on why some accused folks are being let go, are acquitted, are found not innocent, not guilty because of reasonable doubt. Can you explain how that has impacted your practice with your representation of your clients?
Well, I have to tell you, we had a large connection to the von Bülow case. My late great partner, Harold Farringer, was his first attorney.
Really?
He tried the first case. And I had an interesting role in that case. I crafted the motion challenging the suppression of the little bag that they found the syringes in that were turned over by an investigator they had to the police.
Wow.
And my recollection is that Dershowitz won that on appeal based on the search and seizure issue that I had raised along with Farringer.
Very interesting, Paul.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
You know, I got to tell you, Alan was talking about the Harvard students that he had working with him. He had a whole team, Spitzer. There were people who became governor, politicians, really had great careers after that. But he never mentioned your name, which preceded his representation. Why is that?
Well, I'm not surprised. I have my own anecdotal story about Dershowitz. One time, years ago, I received a call from some people representing Marilyn Manson, including Sharon Osbourne, because in those days they were doing the Ozfest, and Marilyn Manson was scheduled to be one of the performers. And what happened was they hired me because the Meadowlands had a fellow running the Meadowlands named Mulcahy who said Marilyn Manson's going to play there over my dead body.
Yes, that's right up Marilyn's alley, the dead body part.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he wasn't too happy about Marilyn's, mocking religion and so on.
Right.
Part of his act. And so I sued on behalf of Marilyn Manson, and Dershowitz's brother showed up, but we handled all the pleadings, the briefs. I argued the case and so on. and we won the injunction. And about a week or so later, a letter shows up from Alan Dershowitz asking that his name be applied to the decision. So I'm not surprised. If you look at the original motions in the Bonfilo case, you'll see that we're the ones that raised those issues.
Now, Paul, you're not going to tell us that you were involved in the OJ case as well, and Alan Dershowitz indicated that that was not going to happen.
Yeah, no, what happened, actually, Barry Scheck is a great friend of mine. And when they were trying
By the way, Paul, we're hoping to have Barry Scheck on the show next week. So it's interesting. He was going to be on the show with you today, but he was unavailable. And we've talked to him hopefully next week. But I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's a fantastic lawyer. And he runs the Innocence Project at Yeshiva University. And he's asked me to come there and speak to his students and so on. But when the trial was going on, I was talking to Barry on a regular basis. I have an office and an apartment in Los Angeles, and they were staying down by Horn. I forgot the name of the hotel down there.
Right.
And I was up by Laurel and Sunset, and we would meet, talk from time to time. It was a very interesting case, and he's such a skillful lawyer. I think that he was a large part of why there was success in that case.
Yeah, agreed with that. Carrie.
Oh, yes. I have questions that I'm listening to. It's fascinating. You've had so many high-profile people, from DMX to Larry Flint, Marilyn Manson. But I want to know how you got involved in the Cambria list. How did you put something like that together? And if people don't know what I'm talking about, this is the list that basically pornographers use. What not
Wait a
to
second,
do.
They're not called pornographers.
Well, they are. They are. They make pornography.
Adult entertainment.
Adult entertainment producers use. And they use the list for what not to do. How did you get involved in that?
Here's exactly how that happened. Yes, you're correct. My late partner, Errol Farring, and I represented Larry, and I currently represent Larry, and I have for many, many, many years. But there's another company in town, very, very prominent company, called Vivid Video.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of Vivid Video, Stephen Hirsch, at one point in time, simply asked me to compose a list of the subjects most frequently selected by the police to prosecute. And I gave him a list. However, what happened was, when I sent it to him, he added several items to that list that I didn't include, and then just said to his producers and directors, Cambria said, don't do this. Well, he added a lot of things that weren't on my list. For the most part, what I had on my list was things like, you know, underage, child pornography, violence, things like that.
You know, Paul, for the folks that are listening, I was just going to say, and you can continue a second, but people need to Google the Cambria list, because you're talking about things that certainly are not the forefront of the list. When you look at the list on the internet, you're going to find some really interesting acts.
Some real interesting
acts. And most of those were added by my friend Stephen.
Okay.
But I have the basics. And so here's what happened. I mean, and that was based on knowledge of what actually was being prosecuted back in those days. I mean, that was quite a while ago. And before the prevalence of the internet and cable and satellite and so on, where now, you know, it's pretty commonplace to be able to access adult material. Back then, it was just starting to be, and there were a lot of mostly Southern Bible Belt places where there were prosecutions. And so I was simply advising them the subjects that are most frequently selected based on our knowledge of the cases around the country. Now, some people misinterpreted that list to be, this is what we think is obscene, and it wasn't that at all.
You know, Paul?
This is,
I want to pick up on that. We're at the half hour. We need to take a break for the news. But I want to pick up about obscenity, pornography, definitions, and how you compare your list to, for instance, the Miller test or before that, the Roth test. But we need to take a break. We're talking to Paul Cambria, one of the top attorneys in the country. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Special report, Pope Francis at Independence Hall. Pope Francis has concluded his speech at Philadelphia's Independence Hall. Tens of thousands on hand to witness the pontiff talk about religious freedom, even in his conclusion.
May this country and each of you thank for all these blessings and liberties that you enjoy, that you may be able to defend these freedoms, especially the freedom of religion that God has given you. He will bless you all, and please do pray a little bit for me. Thank you.
The Pope's interpreter, Francis, now goes to the Philadelphia Festival of Families with some diverse performances. Preacher's daughter Aretha Franklin will be showing respect with Amazing Grace. Italian tenor Andrea Bocelli slated to sing the Lord's Prayer. I'm Michael Toscano.
Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Tiny mortal, you've done angered the football gods.
Hey, fool, don't you know what day it is?
What are you doing listening to the radio when you should be watching great college football like Maryland taking on West Virginia at 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1?
Or TCU battling Texas Tech at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fox?
Here endeth the lesson.
College football on Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1. Honor thy Saturday, every Saturday.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yes, I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem. This is Talk Radio 790 KBC. You're listening to Gervie's Law, and I have on the phone with us Paul Cambria, one of the top attorneys in the country. He's known nationwide, a renowned criminal defense attorney and First Amendment attorney. We were just talking about pornography because Paul Cambria goes way back with Larry Flynt, back to approximately 1974, when I believe it was he was representing Larry's brother and got Larry's brother off from the charges. And Larry looked at Paul and said, "Hey, dude, I need to have you representing me." Isn't that correct, Paul?
Actually, my partner and I were representing Jimmy Flynt, the brother, and Larry's company. And Jimmy was acquitted. Larry was convicted. But then my partner and I handled Larry's appeal of Larry himself and Larry's company. And the statute was declared unconstitutional, and the conviction was vacated. And since that time, I've been his personal attorney, his general counsel, for many, many, many years. And fortunately or unfortunately, I was with him when they shot him. They actually shot him in front of me, and they shot
the local lawyer we had hired, a fellow
wow.
named Gene
Fee.
Wow.
So that's how it was a local lawyer who was shot.
And the story goes that you took care of his wife while he was recuperating from the shot. Is that true?
Well, what happened is his then wife, who passed away, Althea,
yeah.
she and I sat basically by his bedside for 2 weeks at Emory University Hospital because they gave him a very slight chance of survival. So I was there with her for a period of time. And then Larry, you know, recovered.
Right.
And I came back to Buffalo.
Now, were you in the movie? Was it The State versus Larry Flint? Or was it that? Was that you?
That's kind of, well, no. Here's an interesting sidelight there. What happened was, in the 80s, Larry, if you saw the movie, was
yeah.
a little bit out of control and yeah. having some issues with judges and so on. And I left working for Larry at that time.
Okay.
And a civil lawyer named Alan Isaacman took over. There were no criminal cases. They were all civil, corporate, et cetera. So Alan was the attorney for the civil work. When the movie came up, Alan was his civil lawyer, and the producers, writers, decided to use Alan as the person who supposedly was with him when he was shot.
Mm.
But I don't even think Alan knew him when he was shot.
That's funny.
Because I remember that. I remember that
yeah.
scene.
He was no part of the shooting. My partner, Farringer, and I were there when he was shot. We were in. He got the credit or blame, whatever you want to call it. But we were the ones who were there.
So let's talk a little bit quickly about pornography, definitions, obscenity. Now, Justice Potter Stewart, of course, said, "I know it when I see it." That was the famous 1964 U.S. Supreme Court justice. And then we had the Roth test, which preceded that, and the Miller test. When you look at the Miller test, which is from 1973, there were three prongs to the test. You've been working in this industry defending the First Amendment. How do you reconcile all the changes? You know, they talk about community standards. Are there really community standards when we have the internet now, or is the Miller test really outdated?
Well, no, it's interesting. The Miller test is one of the only laws that has an expansion joint in it, and the expansion joint is community standards. And it asks and it requires the application of contemporary community standards to the first two prongs.
Right.
And the reason why that, it's actually kind of a far-reaching, I don't know how to explain it. There isn't any other law that changes depending upon community standards but that law. And so what's happened is the community standards have so broadened since 1973 that it would be very difficult to find something that's not quote-unquote acceptable to the adult community. And what the law requires is you measure the level of acceptance from the standpoint of an adult, not a child, an adult, not a sensitive or an insensitive person, but the average adult.
But
so the average adult these days accepts for another adult most all adult entertainment.
But Paul, doesn't
where you would, you know, you draw the line. Obviously, child pornography is illegal per se.
Right.
So that's not even in the mix. That's not even in the mix. So that's why you don't really see any obscenity prosecutions anymore.
But
you used to see them. The last one we tried in Washington about 5 years ago.
Right.
And what was that one?
You know,
what did that have to do with?
Well, that had some conduct in it that was. You know, a little bit different. I can't really.
Yeah, we don't
say
really
what
know.
It is.
I can't really describe.
Yes,
it,
we're not on cable.
Yeah, no,
this isn't serious.
It was sort of out the outer limits, but nevertheless, the defendant there was acquitted. But it was clearly, you know, not garden variety conduct.
Okay? Right.
So, and he was still acquitted.
So let me ask you this, Paul, because to me, you're still talking about subjectivity. You're talking about the difference of individuals when you have a jury. And last week when we talked to F. Lee Bailey, he talked about the jury system, and he said a lot of the arguments that lawyers make go over the head of the jurors. However, he can't think of a better system. So when you're dealing with First Amendment issues like the pornography, like obscenity charges, how do you deal with subjectivity of a jury?
Well, I see, Bailey obviously was an extremely skillful lawyer. We crossed paths a few times over the years, and very skillful. I don't know what he's doing these days.
Well, he's actually, just to let you know, he's 82, he's in Maine, and he took the bar exam because you know he was disbarred in Florida and Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
At 79 years old, he passed the bar, and then he went up before the board, and in a 5-4 decision, they ruled that he didn't have the moral turpitude to continue to be an attorney.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised, but I could tell you that we had a case that we were both involved in many years ago, and the guy was as skillful as they come. Here's the situation. First of all, you need to, as a lawyer, communicate with juries so you're not talking over their head, because you might as well stay home. I mean, if that's exactly what you're doing, you don't know your craft, and you need to be a communicator. You need to have your message be at the level of the people in the jury, whether that's a high level, low level, or in the middle. So that's important. When we talk about obscenity cases, I mean, my message is a simple one, and that is, what do adults accept for other adults? And it depends upon the context. For example, we wouldn't take a Playboy centerfold, put it on a billboard on the 10th, and say, okay, well, that's acceptable. We just wouldn't do that.
Right.
On the other hand, if we were sitting home in the privacy of our own mind, that would be very acceptable. So you have to look at the context. And so when we look at people who access material on computers and so on, we say, well, let's look at the context.
Right.
They are home. They're adults. They're accessing it voluntarily. What they're looking at is not per se illegal, like child pornography, let's say. And so does one adult find that acceptable for another adult? And if so, then the contemporary community standard is one adult accepts differences for another adult in entertainment, just like not everyone likes symphony music, not everyone likes country western.
That makes sense.
We allow people to make choices as adults.
And that's that's the great First Amendment in this country.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the essence of it. So I would say, you know, let me be me and let you be you. As long as we're not forcing, you know, we're not having forceful things, we're not dealing with child pornography or some of these other things where the subjects would be unacceptable, then they do not offend community standards. And that's how you would communicate that. And that makes sense to the average person. I'm going to say, look, you want to listen to country western music? Great. I like, the Doors.
Or Marilyn Manson.
I don't tell you. You can't listen to yours. You don't tell me. We accept those things for each other. And that's the way it is with adult entertainment.
And Paul, I have a question for you. I saw some pictures of you at the adult video convention. AVN. Was it AVN, Adult Video News?
That was a client of mine, yes.
Yes. And did you go to that award show? Did you actually go and do where they give out the awards?
No, I have been to some of those shows, maybe three over the years. And one year I presented an award to a person named John Stagliano. I've been to the award show. I've been to the conventions. I had a number of clients there. It's just that these days my practice has never had more than about 1% of it being adult entertainment work.
Right. And
you
know, now
duty criminal law.
Now you're in the news, of course, because of the Patrick Kane case, and I don't want to ask you commentary because it's ongoing. But I do have an important question for you, and that is, What happens when you think your client is a victim in a case? Do you become more aggressive in the media, or do you just let the courts work it out?
Well, first of all, a lot of lawyers are unaware of what the ethics rules require. In New York, the ethics rules say that you can't just affirmatively say things about potential evidence, witnesses, and so on, which would or could influence the outcome of the case. On the other hand, you can respond to things that have been said. So I had nothing to say about the Patrick Kane case until others started to make statements which I felt were either unfair or out of context or baseless and so on, and then we responded. So I'm the same with my clients. My client is, if they're victims, I say so, if it's appropriate to do so. In other words, if I'm responding, I don't initiate it, but we do respond because those are the rules.
You know, when Gloria Allred was on this show, she said, I am the voice of the victims. I speak because they can't. Is that something you identify with?
Yes, in the sense of defending them in the appropriate and ethical way, yes. But I do not agree with someone, whether it be Gloria or anyone else, who has a press conference and starts saying that someone is guilty of something and they parade out the accusers and all the rest of it. I don't think that that's ethical conduct. I think that's wrong. I'm convinced that in New York, for sure, it's wrong, and I would not do that. I don't think it's right. I think you should make your argument in the courtroom or respond if somebody else said something publicly. That's how it should be.
And that makes a whole lot of sense. I know we have to let you go, but I would remiss if I didn't say this. The fact of the matter is I am, and I hate to say it, I'm a huge Patrick Kane fan. I grew up in Canada. I'm a Chicago Blackhawks fan. Loved watching them win the Stanley Cup, even though we are on the flag station of the Los Angeles Kings, right here, Talk Radio 790 KBC, is the Kings talk show. Is the radio station. Can you tell me anything about my darling little Patrick Kane? Is he going to be playing this year without any effect of this investigation?
Well, that's absolutely the goal. I've indicated in the press conferences where I responded to things that he was not guilty of crimes. I made a number of statements that responded to other statements out there. And let me just say that I have all confidence in the world in the system and that he'll be cleared, if you will, by the system.
Spoken like a true diplomatic professional, ethically charged, and making sure that nothing is said that can be taken out of context. Paul Cambria, we want to thank you for coming on Gervie's Law. It's been really exciting. You've got some great stories. I wish you could come on. So we have so much more to talk about.
Be fine. I would love to do this.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great weekend. You're
okay.
Bye bye. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The Kings are back.
Back comes Gavrik, left wing to the circle. A shot. He scores.
He'll stop at nothing to reclaim their throne.
King to Carter, who scores! Toffoli to the net, shoots, scores! Moving in, Kopitar, scores!
Don't miss a second of the action as the Kings go for their third cup in 5 years. Kings, Avalanche, Sunday at 4:30 on your home for Kings Hockey. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back right here in Gervey's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervey, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem. Carrie, that was really some interview. Paul Cambria was on our show.
Yeah, and what I mean, my God, for a man, and you know, one of the producers ran in here said, for a man in Buffalo,
yeah,
to create a career like this and to have Amazing. Clients like that, that's unbelievable.
And he spent a lot of time in L.A. Let's just say that he gets around, but he's got a magnificent personality, and you can see how that impacts a jury when he's presenting a case. And I was really impressed with his dedication to the ethics in the legal profession.
Sure.
He will only comment about a case once the door has been opened. He doesn't go on, he doesn't become the aggressive one, or he doesn't, you know, take the lead. He just responds when another attorney goes out into the media and says something.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting guy. And that the Cambria list.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the Cambria list is, this will amuse you. Google Cambria list. I couldn't even talk about probably 95% of what is on that list on the radio. You know, I asked him about the AVN Awards, Adult Video News Awards, where they do, it's kind of the Oscars of porn.
Yeah.
I actually went to one because I was covering it. This is a long, long time.
It?
I was covering for a news station. It was called All Comedy News. I'm not kidding you. And they wanted, you know, interviews with the performers. And it was kind of in a funny way. We were in, you know, kind of tongue in cheek. But it was very hard for me to keep a straight face when they would announce what these women were going to win and
right.
what for.
It's like on the Cambria list, what they want.
Yes. Yes. It's on the Cambria list, what they want. And I'm like, oh, okay. You should be proud of yourself.
You're clapping.
I couldn't believe they take themselves very seriously.
Yes, they do. And in fact, when I was in law school, one of the papers that I wrote in my First Amendment class was on pornography and obscenity. And it was really incredible because I remember just letting loose. I tried to touch on every area I could that was offensive to see whether or not it was going to qualify as obscene.
Is that the paper right there?
No, I'm not holding the paper right here. But I ended up writing a paper that I am so embarrassed to read today. I do have it at home, and I've tried to read it. I can't believe when I was in my 20s that I actually wrote this paper. I ended up getting an A+. And the only reason I did was the professor, his name is Dr.
I was going to say him or her.
Him,
okay.
Dr.
Okay.
Barney Snyderman, and unfortunately he passed away. He was a great professor. He was such a bleeding heart liberal. He was a First Amendment guru. And while he may have been shocked at what I wrote, he was all for being able to write and have the freedom of speech, which makes this country so great.
So he gave you an A+ for all your obscene language.
And it was obscene.
And talk.
And the talk. And it was so offensive. You wouldn't believe how offensive that paper was.
Do you think he thought, wow, this guy has got big cojones?
No. Yeah, and that was part of the story. But I think he thought I was being smart. I was being intelligent. And I was just, you know, having fun. And he really thought it was cutting edge stuff.
Wow.
So, you know, I always remember, but it's a tough subject, pornography, and things have changed since I was in law school. And what Paul Cambria talked about since the OJ trial, which was 20 years ago, the technology has changed. I mean, of course, we have the internet, and there's so much access to some really what people would consider pornographic or obscene materials that is just right there. You can just type some names into the computer, and that
boom
definitely wasn't the case.
No. You know, talking about professors and talking about things that you do that you can't believe you got an A plus on. Was this you that told me the story about it was a term paper or a question on a huge essay or test? It said, write about the most courageous thing you've ever done. And one person, I thought it was you, but maybe not. One person wrote this dot, turn the paper in.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but that wasn't you.
No, it wasn't
me.
No.
I can see you doing something
like
that.
I might do something, but I'm very long-winded, if you haven't noticed. And the fact is I probably wouldn't be able to get away with one word. I'd probably write the one word and then write a 10-page essay on what it all meant. What that one word meant. You know, one of the things we didn't get a chance to talk to Paul Cambry about is that he has driven a drag car sponsored by Hustler magazine. It was a 1994 Pontiac Firebird, and that was something that I guess, you know, these people who live in this fast lane, and I think Paul probably does, even though he sounds like a really down-to-earth guy, you know, they have interest. He's got the 40th anniversary Hustler mug in his office, and while he's representing Patrick Kane, in Chicago newspapers, there was a picture of Paul, because, of course, in Chicago, Patrick Kane is beloved as, you know, one, him and Jonathan Taves and Duncan Keith and some of the other stars of Chicago Blackhawks. There's a picture of Patrick Kane's attorney with this Hustler mug, and the article reads, "Why does Patrick Kane's attorney have a Hustler mug on his desk?" And for you listening to the show today, you definitely found out.
Now you know.
Now you know.
If you don't know, now you know. Talk about. I don't know why this came to me. You're talking about him driving the Pontiac.
Yes.
It was a Firebird. I remember driving with my grandma. We were in Indiana, Madison, Indiana. And I don't know if you're going to remember this, and you probably will. You're from Canada, but they may have had this jingle, the same thing. We're in my grandma, you know, is driving her white Pontiac four-door, and driving it, we're so embarrassed. It's me, my brother, my sister. We're in the car, and she's going so slow, and everybody's passing her, and it's just very embarrassing. And all of a sudden, I start singing, "We build excitement, Pontiac," and we just all started laughing. Do you remember that jingle?
I do remember that jingle, but I think, you know, with the story that you told, you probably had to be there because, you know,
have to picture this old woman driving, and we're all embarrassed,
excitement.
And we're singing "We Build Excitement" as she's going 5 miles an hour down the road, and we're being honked at.
I can guarantee you that Paul Cambria in his 1994 Pontiac Firebird, emblazoned with the Hustler logo on it, was building a lot more excitement than your grandmother. But, you know,
look, everybody else is laughing except you.
Well, no, they're laughing at you.
Maybe.
But it's good. But, you know, you're getting giddy. I want you to calm down because, folks, at the beginning of the show, I told you when we were, just before we spoke to Paul Cambria, that Carrie was in another part of the studio doing some top secret work. And now I understand that you are going to continue with that interview in 2 minutes.
That's right. I go from this show to another show. Yes, and it is top secret until it comes out, so I can't say
anything.
Right,
but you did mention it was a presidential candidate.
Yes.
A high-profile one at that.
Yes.
And something that we hope that we'll be able to talk about
very soon. Yes.
Because it's not often that you get to speak with this individual.
No, it's not. It's pretty amazing. I'm pretty excited. Hey, you never know. Maybe he'll end up on this show.
Well, we hope so, because we would welcome him on the show. We, as you know, folks, we welcome anyone on the show. If they have anything to say, in fact, if you have anything to say, look at our Facebook page. It's Gervie's Law. Go to the Facebook page, write a comment, or just say, "I want to be on the show. I want to meet Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem. I have a legal issue that I want to talk about," and we will be happy to have you on the show. So that is your challenge for the day. Come up with a legal issue that you want to. And meeting Carrie Kasem is really spectacular and of itself.
I'm just so much fun. Just as much fun as meeting Alan.
No, it isn't. The person who you're going to interview would never speak to me, but for Carrie Kasem, he has made time on, and I said he. I shouldn't have said that.
That's okay. I said he.
Okay.
There's only one woman.
Not Hillary Clinton.
Right, two. There's Carly two. And Hillary.
Right,
yeah.
It's not one of those. You know, so listen for future updates on Carrie's secret interview. And again, go to Facebook page, Gervie's Law, and Google podcast, Gervie's Law podcast, so you can hear the Alan Dershowitz interview and the F. Lee Bailey interview. We want to thank you all for listening, and we're looking forward to being right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC next week. You will be with us on Gervie's Law.